Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rivalry Radio, J-File here. And after a little hiatus, one that Tyler is very disappointed in me, we are back. We are back, people. Just like Michigan State's whole offensive staff, we are back. The Michigan State offensive staff and football is back. Hey, a little tinkering, but they're all back. They are all still in the program. I know Sparty Nation is not loving that so much. And we will talk a little bit about football. It's hard to not want to jump right into basketball. Michigan State unbeaten in Big Ten Conference play, as well as their rival, the University of Michigan. We'll talk about a lot of basketball today. We'll get into football first, though, because I think it's such a crazy time when it comes with recruiting and signing players and staff movement and expectations already being talked about. I know in wonderful Ann Arbor, Michigan here, it's hard not to talk about football, number one, even though our basketball program is outstanding. And they break a record for what's the second win, best start in the history of Michigan basketball, 17-0 right now. Michigan Wolverines are, and most likely will be, number one, which means nothing. Let me please put that out there. It means nothing now. They still have to finish the season, number one. That's the main goal for the University of Michigan basketball program. So let's jump into football. I think we have some big-time things to talk about in Michigan first. I think the staff movement with Greg Madison and Al Washington going to Ohio State was shocking. And I was incredibly surprised. And I think I'm still surprised. And I think that this could really, though, jumpstart, I hope, the rivalry for Michigan. If you can't get a little bit of edge or motivation from this, if you're Michigan, then you have zero grasp on the rivalry that is Michigan versus Ohio State. Mind you, a rivalry been dominated by Ohio State. In the last 19 meetings, Ohio State's won 16 games. 16-3 the last 19 meetings. I just think that's incredible. And we can talk about 5-0, 10-0, whatever you want, but the 16-3 record just jumps out at me for some reason. And it's because of the few times Michigan won, you know, there is no Drew Henson right now. You know, there is no Braylon Edwards right now. You know, those are names of guys who won in that game in the last 19 meetings. And you look at the players now for Michigan and you look at what they have, and you say to yourself, do they have enough to beat Ohio State? I mean, you really have to ask that question, because when it comes to recruiting, I think that it's very obvious that Ohio State's done a better job. And I think that they're on a level of recruiting that Michigan will probably never top. They can beat them. They have great players. They have high-rated players. But I just don't think there's that couple guys that Michigan has, you say, that guy can dominate action. Whereas maybe next year is the year that guys like Donovan Peoples-Jones, Nico Collins, Tariq Black at the wide receiver position, they have to dominate. They have to prove, like, I'm better than every single person on your team, Ohio State. Shea Patterson, you know, I'm the best quarterback. I have to show that now. The defense, hey, we have to stop you guys. We have enough talent to stop you. We're not giving up 62 points anymore. We're not letting you dominate and do whatever you want to us anymore. Those are the things when it comes to Michigan football. It has to happen. Somebody has to step up. Big-time players step up in big-time games. And there just hasn't been a whole lot of that for Michigan. Where you can blame Jim Harbaugh. You can blame Don Brown. Look, this year I thought that the game plan was atrocious. And I know this is, you know, we're in January now. To talk about that game would be a little odd, right? Well, it's not odd because it's the number one game that matters to Michigan people. And it always will. And then when we talk about resolutions, because Tyler and I talk about resolutions for the football programs for both Michigan and Michigan State, the simple resolution for Michigan football, you got to find a way to beat Ohio State. You have to. And if you don't win the Big Ten, you still got to beat Ohio State. If you're having a down year or you lose a few games and you feel like you shouldn't lose, you got to beat Ohio State. That's still where we are in college football, in this state, in these neck of the woods in Ann Arbor. You have to beat that team. And I question if they have enough to do it. And sometimes these are players that, look, in the past, Desmond Howard wasn't a star day one. He had to earn his way a few years, and then the last few years of his career, he was outstanding. You know, the 91, the punt return. But, you know, when you have someone like Charles Woodson who completely beat Ohio State, I don't care what anyone says, the players win the game. The coaches have to put them in the right position. I don't question that it's all, you know, I'm not sitting here saying it's all on the players. But the players do make the difference, the main difference of winning that game. And they just kind of had anyone take over that game. You know, I would say the last time was Bernard Robinson, obviously their last win against the Buckeyes. Bernard Robinson was the difference. He made plays, and that Ohio State team obviously was down, but it doesn't matter. In this game, in this rivalry, it doesn't matter how good or bad they are. You gotta win that game. So my resolution is simple for Michigan football. Find a way, as coaches, to get your best players the ball, get them the football, make them let it happen for you. And if it's just not good enough yet, you got to find a way to recruit better. And hey, they're not recruiting bad, but you got to find a way to recruit better if the guys you have now are not winning that big game. So the resolution for Michigan football is simple. You got to do whatever it takes to beat Ohio State. That doesn't mean that you're going to win everything. That doesn't mean you're going to go to Indy. That doesn't mean that you're going to win the Big Ten. You may have a few slip-ups this year. But it don't matter. You got to beat Ohio State. You got to prove to people that this program is still moving forward. That game is the most important game. We're going to win it. It helps with recruiting. It helps with a lot of things. And Tyler's here with us. Tyler, I've been going on about Michigan football resolutions before we get to basketball, so I think it's good to talk Michigan State, obviously, right away. But you can touch on that real quick if you want about Michigan. I made it very simple. Find a way to get players to beat Ohio State. Your best players got to play big. They have not. And you got to put your players in the right position. You can touch on that. We can get into Sparty football. Let's get these resolutions over and let's get to basketball.
I will touch on U of M football here really quick. I think you just got to beat Ohio State, period. Now, here's the deal. It doesn't matter if it's necessary. Over the past week, you know, Michigan's lost a couple coaches to Ohio State. You keep losing those games to Ohio State. You're Ohio State. You've got to beat them somewhere. You've got to get some sort of momentum going against them in football. And I think that, you know, the coaching changes that they make, they need to be A-plus coaching changes. And, you know, some of that will obviously lead to beating Ohio State in and of itself. So I think that that's the big thing. Is I don't think it's necessarily a development thing, but it is something that needs to start up top.
You know, I think you're right. I mean, before you got on, Ty, I said, I don't think it's the coaches get a free pass here. What they need to do is you got to find a way to get guys like Donovan Peoples-Jones. Like next year with Tariq Black, if he's healthy, Nico Collins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, you have a very good, strong wide receiver corps. They have a new offensive coordinator in Josh Gattis. And I would hope now that he has full control. They've said that now, that the resolution is we got enough
apparently we think we have enough good players. We got to beat Ohio State. So that's period. And typically, from what we've seen over the years, Ohio State is typically the best team in the conference. So you give yourself a shot when you're playing at a high level against them, that maybe you do get bigger goals. My thing is this: I don't care about the big goals anymore. Michigan football fans need to realize one thing. Just scrap the college football playoff talk. Scrap anything worth, you know, winning. Don't even talk about that. Beat your rival. Have the attitude that Michigan State has had for you, because I think it helps Michigan State. We talked about this so many times. Michigan State really builds off that rivalry, and it gets them better. And I think that's why they've been so successful. You know, talk about Michigan State, because obviously the coaches changing positions, I guess, was a little odd for me. But you think it's good. Tell us what you think, why it's still okay in Sparty Land.
Part of my resolution was change the offense. Now, here's the deal, is I think that may end up happening. Obviously, there are some certain aspects that Mark Antonio likes. You know, you have to be able to run the ball. How you run the ball, if you run it out of a spread formation, if you run it out of a power eye or whatever it may be, how you run the ball, if you run it with your quarterback, if you run it with your running back, that can change. And I'm not going to say I'm the biggest fan of this move, but at the same time, it's kind of weird because I do understand it. You know, a lot of guys went back to positions that they originally had, with the exception of Brad Salem. You know, Dave Warner was the quarterback coach. He was the quarterback coach for Connor Cook for a while. And, I mean, so obviously he's got valuable experience there, experience that, you know, looks good on a resume. Hey, I coached up the best quarterback in Michigan State history.
Sure, yeah.
You have Treadwell going back to receiver. Bowman, who was on special teams, is now back on the offensive line where he belongs. They handed Dayton special teams. Dayton's another one of those guys I would have liked to have seen him get shown the door. But you have Shane Graham, who, you know, longtime NFL veteran, one of the best kickers in football for a while. You have him helping out with the special teams and kicking and everything else. And so I think that these moves are good. You know, guys went back to their original position. Salem ran the spread offense as a Division II offensive coordinator. So it is different enough. If he brings more of his style into what Michigan State ran last year, I think it's a good move. The thing is that this offense doesn't have to be the most explosive in the country. Not with this defense. But this offense, if you score 24 points a game, you might be all right. But you've got to be able to get over the hump a little bit. You have to be able to score, you know, at least a couple more times a game, whether it's field goals or, you know, one or two touchdowns, which, I mean, even that's just an execution thing, sometimes one big block, foot tackle, something like that. But it's been enough. It should spread the offense out a little bit more. You know, you got talented receivers, Cody White, Darryl Stewart, Jalen Naylor all coming back. And so if we see more spread incorporated and we see it run effectively, it also is in a that type of an offense doesn't favor the guys with arms. You know, you can dump it off in Milwaukee. I mean, he can be accurate sometimes. Deep, but he's more or less a middle to short quarterback game man that there would be exception of the fact he can run. I think that the spread offense would be perfect for him. And so I like the move. If I'm 100% on board, I think part of the staff is going to change, maybe not the bigger names, maybe not the offensive coordinator, but, you know, there may become additional help brought in like Michigan State did with Shane Graham last year.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I think Michigan State with that defense, they're going to be solid as a rock. And I think as far as the Big Ten Conference goes, I think that if they can find a way to like, I mean, it's so early. I mean, we just don't know. But they're built to win the Big Ten Conference. I really do believe that. I think Michigan's kind of going the opposite direction. I think they're trying to get certain guys to make them, you know, in the college football playoff.
where I think Michigan State has a better shot to get there a lot because I think they're built better. I think that for that conference, they're built a stronger way. But I just think the main thing for Michigan is they've got to be Ohio State. I mean, I don't really care about any team else at this point. You know, you haven't won the Big Ten anyway in 100 years. So, for me, it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, I don't go into the season now looking at Michigan going, oh, I think they can get to the college football playoff on the Big Ten. Oh, forget that. Scrap it. I want to just see them beat Scarlet and Gray. That's it. So I'm going the attitude that a lot of Michigan State fans that are not like you and educated will just say, oh, I don't care if we lose every game we beat Michigan. I'm kind of taking a little bit of that for Ohio State. So it's football, it's over, and we can talk basketball now, but it'll be fun. It'll be very interesting when we get back into that, Tyler. Basketball has just been, you know, such a good start. I mean, we're in mid-season form now, and, you know, Cassius Smithson is really stepping up for Michigan State. He's probably maybe a front runner for player of the year at this point in the conference. I think when I wrote stuff down about Michigan State, kind of the first word that comes to my mind is depth. And I told you earlier, I saw Aaron Henry, I made a bold statement where I think he's more important to this team than Josh Langford. I think that's a pretty big statement I made. But when you watch him defend, I think it's hard not to argue that point. But really, it's depth. You get Langford back. And talk about Michigan State's depth, because it's been really, really good this year.
Well, I mean, I think the first thing that you mentioned, I'm going to touch on the Langford-Henry thing. I don't know if he's necessarily more important because there are going to be a couple games here and there, you know, against when you play better teams like Michigan or play teams like Nebraska that like to muck it up a little bit with Michigan State at Thursday. If you play an Illinois team, which they're, you know, kamikazes on defense, it's either, you know, you're just feeling a fast break and press or, you know, you're giving up 2 points at the rim. So when you play those types of teams, you know, having a guy like Langford who, when the offense stalls out, can hit his own shot, can hit a shot with a hand in his face, having a guy like that, I think that's huge. You know, Texas, we saw it, he was the reason Michigan State won. At the same time, you know, he can shoot you out of a game if he's off, and I think that probably would have been the case with Ohio State. And if he stalled out, if Langford played and he wasn't hitting, you know, all of a sudden that game ends up as another L in Michigan State's first conference ball. So there are things that I like about Henry better. You know, he's more locked in all the time than Langford. That may be because he's playing less minutes and maybe because he's a freshman and he doesn't want to get ripped out by his toe. But I think that I think that he, you know, brings something defensively. You know, we saw him on who – you know, you and I both had pegged as the Big Ten Player of the Year in Carson Edwards, and he did a phenomenal job. Him and McQuaid did such a great job shutting him down.
Right.
And, I mean, Edwards did get free once or twice, you know, but that's what happened. So he's the best scorer in the Big Ten. You and I kind of figured that he single-handedly played Purdue into that third spot, and then we realized, hey, you know what? The conference is a little stronger than even we thought. But as far as the depth goes, you know, no Kyle Arne, no Josh Langford. You go on the road to Penn State, you get a double-digit win. Penn State is a team that they've always played Michigan State a little bit closer than what their record says. And the fact that you're able to go out there in a double-digit win when Cassius Winston plays probably his worst game of the year.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Throw Louisville.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could throw Louisville in there, but he looked like he did last year. A lot of people last year, I don't know if you remember, got upset that Tum Tum was playing a lot, and it was because Cassius was turning the ball over, making stupid mistakes. That's the one position where they don't have the depth, and that's why Winston was able to go out and was able to keep playing, is because Lawyer's getting there, but he's not there yet. And, you know, Gabe Brown played solid, had a lot of really big rebounds. You know, obviously we talked about Henry's defense. He flashes to the lane as well as anybody. He might even flash to the lane better than anybody I've seen since Jason Richardson. How quick he does it, his quick first dribble, and then one throw hop. And again, not like Lane Bird, you know, Henry's in control on his throw hop. one pro hop, and then all of a sudden he's at the rim, and when he gets in that position, he's not only able to finish like we saw him do against the Nittany Lions. He's a very underrated passer too, and he can dump it off to Ward or Tillman or Collins or whoever, and they can finish. So he brings a lot to the table. Brown brings a lot to the table. Obviously, up front you have I don't know if I say the best trio of big men because I really like Jordan Murphy and company at Minnesota, but you know, Michigan State at least number two in the conference in that regard.
Yeah. They just got great depth. I mean, you know, when I'm writing notes down today, that's the first word that just keeps popping up in my head is the outstanding depth that Michigan State basketball has. When you can lose someone like Langford, who is a very legit scorer, you bring in someone like Henry, who gives you something extra. And
well,
you also
lost Arnes, who's played phenomenal this year.
Yeah, you know, I'll be quite honest with you. One thing that I was pleased to see. And I know saying pleased when I'm talking about Michigan State is a difficult thing to say, but I thought Foster Lawyer played really well against Penn State. He still needs to get his shot off court here. He's struggling with the bigger guys defending him. You know, he's been blocked a lot from outside. That slow release needs to change. But he's always in control. He doesn't try to do too much. When he comes off screens, he's another threat to hit shots because he's such a good shooter, and he did hit a couple shots. And I think that will help them. And he's also a guy that can play with Winston. You got two ball handlers. I think you're going to start seeing that more, Tyler. And we did see a little bit of that against Penn State where they had both of them out there. Because he's not ready to run the team yet, but he is another good ball handler and playmaker. And maybe I shouldn't say playmaker, but he's good with the ball. He's not going to do too much, not make mistakes, and he can shoot. So I think their depth is just really good. Langford's going to have to be another guy that does play well, because once we get into the thick of things in this season, when they get to the tournament especially, you got to have a few guys that can hit shots. And I think that, now talking about Michigan, I think that's why Michigan is so darn good still, because when they get to the tournament, now you have Teske playing well inside. I mean, he can really score when he wants. And you got guys like Simpson who are starting to develop a little bit more of a scoring in their game. Poole, obviously, you know, it speaks for itself how he can score. Matthews can score. Biggie can score. What they're lacking in depth that Michigan State has, they make up for it with really five starters that can have big scoring nights now. And I think that's what will carry them if they play well or play just good throughout the tournament. I think the main thing, I mean, obviously we know in basketball, the main thing is how good are you playing when you get to March? And I don't think Michigan's played outstanding basketball the last month. I think they've struggled a little bit. But they're unfazed because they do have so many guys that can hit shots. And they are playing great defense. I mean, their defense is tough. But I do think they're going to struggle still against teams that can score. I know Indiana really put the pressure on them and was scoring at will sometimes. I know Michigan State will as well. So you look at Michigan and you say, but they got a solid four or five guys that can score, and then Isaiah Livers off the bench can fill it up a little bit. They really got six guys that can score the ball. That's it, total. You know, and you look at Brandon Johns Jr., he had a good game against Indiana, but he's not going to score for you. Where Michigan State's got a lot of guys, man, that can come in and do a lot, but maybe they're only relying on a couple guys to score at a good pace. The thing I want to ask you is, do you think that could hurt Michigan State in the end where Winston, even though he's scoring really well, Ty, like, you know, they don't have – Ward's been outstanding. I mean, he can score inside anytime he wants. Winston has seemed to really score the ball well. Do you think they really still need, like, another guy to be just a great scorer like Langford to make a run?
I mean, I think it helps. I mean, you were talking about Michigan with the options that they have available that can score. They have six guys who can do it. And they can all almost do it at will, but they don't do it consistently. And, I mean, that's one of the things that I think Michigan needs to work on. I'm not trying to downplay their offense, but they do have slumps sometimes. They do have lulls. The more guys that you have obviously making plays, the better off they're going to be. if Michigan State ends up in a situation like Texas, like they did against Texas, where they're down by 18 in the first 4 minutes of the game, you know, you need Langford to spark it up. Winston may be able to, but if McWhorter's going against a guy like Asabuki at Kansas, where it's one of those few guys that can match him pound for pound in the country, might maybe the only guy. I'm 100% sure on that. You need that third bill. Henry's got the capability to get 8 to 10 points. You know, Gabe Brown can fill it up, 2 threes really quick. Irons can score. McQuaid can hit the three, and you know, you blink and McQuaid has 12 points all of a sudden. So his shot's starting to be a little more consistent this year. So I think that, you know, obviously the more the merrier. You'll take whatever points you can get. You have guys like Tillman who can get 12. Kenny Jones, you know, he'll get you 0 or he'll get you 10. Got options available, and I mean, I think that that's the big thing. You don't need to have that one guy like Carson Edwards when you have the options available that Michigan State has. The options that Michigan has, I think you need a little more consistency out of it. I think shown yet, but when you get to a team like Michigan State where, you know, Michigan may be able to force more turnovers, but Michigan State can still put up points in bunches, I think that you're going to need those extra points from U of M, and it's not going to be able to come from a guy like Teschke who may be bottled up by Xavier Tillman. It may not be able to be from a guy like Poole or Matthews. I'm not saying they'll get shut down, but they could get slowed down dramatically by the way he's played defense this year. So I think they need to find a couple more options or get one guy who can do it consistently. Like when you look at the box score, he's always the top two as far as scoring goes. They don't have that guy right now who will do that. You know, Matthews will end up there, but then all of a sudden he'll be behind Simpson the next game. When
I lost you there, Ty, but you know, what you just said about, you know, Simpson is absolutely correct. And, you know, I'm excited because for some reason I just feel like Michigan's going to go through a little rut. And I think that because I think it's been really easy for them. They've had a few games where it hasn't been. They haven't really had a good team challenge them towards the end of the game. You know, we can look at Northwestern, that game where Northwestern challenged, but Northwestern's really down. I mean, they're struggling this year. That was just the one game where it was close on the road where they just weren't good enough. I think Wisconsin this weekend, I think that's their first L. I think they lose this weekend. I think Wisconsin, first really tough road game, and I think that they struggle with that. And I think it's what they need, though. I think they need a game where it brings them down to earth. Hey, you know, John Beilein had a great statement, and he's blown me away, Tyler. I mean, obviously you know that I had strong feelings about how I thought he was soft before. He's really been rock solid, and one of his statements was, sometimes a loss really helps you. And I think they need a loss. I think they need a loss for them to realize, you know, we're not there yet. We're not great yet. We're a very, very good basketball team. We have an opportunity to do some huge things this year, but they're not great yet. They need to get a little more depth. They need a few guys to step up. And then, look, I don't know how this thing's going to end for Michigan, but I do know that I'm realistic, and I've seen enough basketball to know that that's not a national championship team. Not yet. Do I think they have enough to win a national championship? I don't think they do. I don't think they have enough guys off the bench to make up for something that goes wrong. Because you've seen this, and I have seen this so many times. A guy doesn't play well. A guy gets in foul trouble. A couple tic-tac fouls on Teschke. Who comes in?
Caleb Johnson is Achilles.
Exactly. I mean, that's a terrible thing to happen to State. It was hard to overcome. They couldn't get over that hump because of it. Xavier Simpson, something, you know, you never want a kid to get hurt. That's the worst thing that we could think of. But it happens.
Right.
It happens a lot. And I just think Michigan, there's still a couple things I need to see for me to say that is a team that can win it all. Because I think both teams, I mean, is this a far cry for me to say? I think they're both Final Four legit talked about teams. I mean, would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think the as far as Michigan goes, I think they do have it. I just think it needs to be a perfect storm. You do need to get a little bit lucky with, you know, twisted ankle here, sprained knee there. But I think that I think they've got enough. It's just a matter of can they score consistently. Like I said, can one guy get hot and all of a sudden you're like, okay, we got something going with him. We can go to him the rest of the game. You know, the next game, can Isaiah Litter step up? Can Xavier Simpson step up offensively? And, you know,
right,
he puts a couple in. So I think that there's this really weird line that Michigan's been riding. You know, obviously they're playing great basketball. I think they beat Wisconsin this weekend. I don't think Wisconsin has the athleticism to hang. I think Teschke tight is going to be a problem for Hap.
Yeah.
You know, I am kind of looking forward to the Demetri Trice Xavier Simpson matchup, but I don't think Wisconsin has the horses to hang with Michigan. I think Michigan kind of walked away there. The one thing, though, about Michigan, and we've talked about it before, is say what you want about North Carolina. Look, North Carolina is a good team. This is not North Carolina, North Carolina. This is a four-loss North Carolina team already. And then Villanova, obviously. Well, yeah, North Carolina's good, but they're not good enough to say, God, you know what, Michigan could go undefeated. And then, you know, Villanova turned around and crapped that. And so I still want to see that one really, really good game. The problem is I don't know if you can get, even though I think the Big Ten's the best conference, top to bottom, I don't know if Michigan can get that really, really good game until they play Michigan State. I don't know if they can. Indiana is good enough to hang with both. I'm not saying Indiana can't beat both teams, or Maryland can't beat both teams, or even Wisconsin can't beat both teams, Ohio State, whatever. I'm not saying these teams have no shot. I'm just saying,
right,
I don't think that there is a team, talent-wise, other than Michigan State, that can compete with U of M in the conference.
I would have liked to see
Michigan's non-conference bulked up a little bit more with maybe one more really good team. I mean, obviously you have no control over the fact that Villanova was a massive fraud. You have no control over, you know, North Carolina not being the North Carolina that we all have come to know and hate. But one more thing to boost them over the top for me.
Yeah, I think you're not – like, definitely wrong saying that. I think there's big questions when it comes to the topic of the scheduling, because my thought is, I mean, what team really has a schedule right now where you go, oh, man, I mean, their schedule is why they're losing. I mean, I think that, you know, like Duke lost to Syracuse. I don't think Syracuse is a great basketball team. I think they're good, and they can hurt you. I mean, if you don't play good defense, they got guys that can score. They got veteran players. And I think that, you know, you could argue that, you know, they played Florida State on the road. That's a tough game. Those games are coming for Michigan, though. You know, we'll find out, because I think when you go on the road to Michigan State, when you go at Indiana, I would still compare it at Indiana to playing against a Louisville. I think they're very similar type teams. I mean, you know, those are tough teams no matter what. On the road, Florida, Michigan State played at Florida. That's a tough game. You know, the SEC is not great, but, you know, I would look at the SEC and say, you know, Auburn's tough to beat sometimes. You know, Tennessee looks great. Kentucky's got a lot of talent. Florida's pretty good, too. I mean, I think we could all kind of – college basketball is weird, isn't it? I mean, it's one of those deals where nobody stands out and go, oh, man, that team is just so darn good that I don't think anybody can beat them. I don't think there's a team there that we could say that about. I mean, I think Gonzaga, their conference isn't good enough, so they're really darn good. But I think that Michigan State could beat them. I think if they went on the road at Indiana, I think they'd have a hard time winning it, maybe. You know, and it's just such a weird, tough topic to talk about scheduling because I don't think we know yet. I think once you get to March, you kind of see who the top 16 teams really are. Then you get to the Final Four and you're like, okay, this team's just hot right now. And I think that's what college basketball is all about. I think as far as Michigan's schedule, they haven't had a tough road game yet. I mean, I would agree with you saying the schedule hasn't been hard yet. It hasn't. They haven't had a tough, tough road game. The Northwestern game doesn't count for me. Illinois is incredibly athletic, but doesn't count for me. I think Wisconsin's a good start for a tough road win. I think they got to win at Iowa. They got to somehow win at Indiana, who's incredibly talented. And then we can start saying, wow, you know, this team is, when they're not comfortable and they're not at home where they play outstanding, they're pretty darn good. And it's so different, too, because, Ty, you know how it is. Michigan State's had some really good neutral site games where they've had to play well against very athletic teams and they've won. And I think that might go a long way for Michigan State. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you always have that time as well. Anyone, any place, anytime, whatever it is. And it's always been beneficial. I mean, you can say what you want about the last 3 years. I mean, but Tom Izzo does what is best for his team. This year's scheme for Michigan State is still young. They're really young. You know, we talk about how the freshmen haven't played so much, but they're not.
Yeah.
It's not like they're sitting on the bench, you know, Kisner and Marcus Bingham, but I mean, you're still getting a lot of play from Aaron Henry. You're starting to see Hoffer going in April a little bit. You know, Winston don't really have a team with the exception of Jones and McQuaid, and both of those guys. I just talked about how Jones is a great rebounder, and McQuaid might be the defensive player of the year in the Big Ten. As crazy as it sounds. The way that he's played and at least put his name in the hat. They're replaceable guys. That one senior on Michigan State team that could just step up and say, oh yeah, whatever, this is nothing to me. He's done this before, blah, blah, blah. You've got guys who have been upset the past couple seasons. You have guys who haven't played these neutral site games as much that are getting that experience that, hey, you know what, come March, they might be ready for it. And, I mean, I said at the very first game of the year, neutral site game against Kansas, I said Aaron Henry, it might not be this year, but he's going to win the championship at Michigan State. He just looks like a leader. He looks like he's been there before. He tried to take over maybe where he shouldn't, maybe where he doesn't belong, but he's shown that he's got something special in him. And he looked, like I said, the very first game, he was coaching up Cassius Winston. Cassius Winston, more or less a two-year starter at point guard, Big Ten player of the year right now. I would say, you know, mid-season first team All-American by Sporting News. Could have went to Harvard. And he's being coached up by a freshman who never played a game before. So these guys are very quick learners. They understand everything. And I think, you know, Izzo's neutral site games, his willingness to go anywhere and play anybody, playing Florida on the road, playing at the Yum Center in Louisville, I think that I think it's really going to help this team at the end.
No, absolutely. I think it's great experience for Michigan State. So much happens in a college basketball season, though. You get towards the tournament, and you just never know who you're going to draw. And sometimes those teams you draw are just hot at that time. Like Syracuse was playing good basketball at the end last year. You know, they slid into the tournament. There's nothing to lose for them. They kind of came in. They beat an Arizona State team who was not playing well at the end, lost a lot of games towards the end of the season, where when you play them earlier in the season last year, they were great. I mean, they go to Kansas and win. So it's like, you know, the first game of the year doesn't matter. The last game does. The last game you play matters the most. And I think Michigan and Michigan State are both going to make runs this year. I think Michigan State's built for it. I think Michigan has enough scoring punch that it can make up for a lackluster defensive performance. And I truly think we're going to see these two teams right at the end there trying to get into that Final Four. I just see that happening. They're both built differently, but built for that. And I'm excited.
Well,
I really think it should happen. I think it should happen. I hope it happens. I think that the state needs it. And Michigan State just cannot have a game where they don't play well offensively against a team who's hot. That's just what's going to hurt them. I don't see a team out there, man, and unless it's one of the top teams like a Duke, you know, a Kansas. I don't see a lot of teams, you know, beating Michigan State. Like, I wouldn't pick a lot of teams over them. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, you said that you don't think that
that Michigan's got enough offense. I think they have enough defense to overcome a poor offensive game, and I think that's what you're more likely to see out of Michigan. In regards to State, I think defensively they're very underrated. People tend to be awestruck by their offense this year. I think
This
is the same time, you know, McCord, like we just said, McQuaid might be defensive player of the year. Will he be? I don't know. But he's definitely fighting for it. He's definitely fighting for that. Defender, David Tillman, great defender. Josh Langford.
I think Xavier Simpson might be not a category. Xavier Simpson probably could be the best defender as well in the conference. And
right.
I think Michigan
right.
State and Michigan
but
both
then,
could have
know,
that argument for sure.
Then looking at Michigan State again, like Cassius Winston, he's not a great defender by any stretch, but he's definitely improved over last year. And I think that's kind of what differentiates him from a lot of the other guys in the Big 12.
So I think that their defense is better than expected. You know, if they go full, they have something that can back it up. It might take a
halftime pep talk for, you know, the energy to get sparked, but I think they're capable of it. They just need to play a full 40 minutes. Their inconsistency right now has probably been the biggest concern when you're looking at MSU. You know, they've not been able to put together 40 minutes, and they're still walking away with the records that they have. It's
right.
Something to behold, really, with both teams. You know, obviously,
I cannot wait to see that Simpson-Winston matchup. I'm just itching for that game to happen, but we've got so many other games. We got to see, see what happens in those games. But, you know, obviously, we're excited. We have to wait so darn long for that Michigan State game. A lot can happen before we get to that point. But I think there's some good things here. You know, Ty, I really wonder about this weekend's game. We'll talk more about that either end of the week or after. And we're back on it. Before you got on my intro, I said, look, Tyler is mad about this hiatus, but we're back on. We're rolling. I'm back. And I did even say, I did a little dig without you. And I said, we are back just like every Michigan State offensive coach. We are back, baby.
Hopefully we're better than that. So
hopefully we're back and better. You're right. All right.